Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where our truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere to go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we're very happy to be with you this evening. We have Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor, the father of two, a husband, and a NASCAR fan from Corona, California, originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. Talking with us here about the rainout on Sunday, last Sunday, of the Daytona 500, which you say, Mr. Bozell, was unnecessary. It's about time NASCAR begins to show a little moxie. It's about time the drivers themselves show a little moxie, get out there and run in the rain. Football players play in any weather. And you've heard people talking to you about the safety situation.
Let me explain about the safety situation, Phil, if I could, and thank you for having me on your program.
And then we want to get back to our callers.
Yes, sir, I understand that. But I want to explain the safety situation to you, and this is something that people, look, you know and I know and everyone listening to your program tonight knows, I think NASCAR knows, I think the drivers know, that people tune in to see a NASCAR, see the NASCAR 500, automobile races, and, they want to see if a car is going to be in an accident. And they want to see if the driver can pull out of a hellacious spin or something like this. So if it's raining, I'm not saying I want to see anybody die and I want to see anyone get hurt. But you will still see if it's raining, the cars, a lot of them will go get into spins and all this. And that's part of what attracts people to the race. And I think NASCAR needs to start to understand, this is the big time. This is the big money. That lady was talking to me about running. Have I ever been on a racetrack? I told her I run it high and hot when I'm going to work in the morning. I've got to get there.
And yeah, you said that, but that's not a racetrack, okay?
Well, nobody else is running on a racetrack. Nobody else runs in the rain on a racetrack. So how can she say, have you ever been on a racetrack? I'm talking about running in the rain on a racetrack. Well, she's never done that, neither have I. But I've done it closer to it than she has. She's not done it closer to it than I have.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let me get over to Ray, who was hanging on through the last break. Ray, go ahead. Ricky, go ahead. You're on with Steve Bozell.
Well, Mr. Bozell, actually, I'm just another dumb Southerner, and I just want to let you know one thing. Just
that's the second time you said that. I told you I'm from the South, too, sir, so don't get such a tender ass about it.
Like I said, land of fruit and nuts. Come on back home to Knoxville.
Whatever. Let me tell you what. There are just as many fruits and nuts down south, probably more than are out here, so don't worry about
that's
it.
Okay, but we understand not to drive in the damn rain. You understand? Now, when you take...
You think so? Except you can't move your mobile home away from the Hurricane Alley.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Mr. Bo. When you take weight, speed...
My name is not Mr. Bo. My name is Mr. Bozell, okay? You want me to start calling you Dickie?
It reminds me of the last dog I had. But wait a minute now. Hold on. What I'm trying to
you
say.
You remind me of the last dumb gardener I had.
Okay. Well, you know how Southerners are. But anyway, check us out.
No, just you. Not you Southerners. Just you. Just you, son.
And you throw all that together and throw some water onto it. You're bound to have an accident and somebody can get killed. Okay. So my question is,
I just got them telling you that they race in the rain. The open wheel cars race in the rain. So what makes these NASCAR guys so special?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I'm sorry that you have to have those type of people on, and he's right. He has a right to his opinion and everything. But like I said,
all you've been doing is calling me names and talking about how dumb Southerners are.
I don't teach your son to drive his bicycle or ride his skates in the rain.
Of course I don't. I'm talking about race car driving. I'm talking about guys that are supposed to know what they're doing.
Well, they do know what they're doing, but they're smart too at the same time. And by the way, everybody that races these cars are not from the South. Just keep that in mind.
How come you've got a problem with the South? What seems to be your problem?
I don't have.
All I said was
the young lady that you had on before. You were mocking the South and bad mouthing.
No,
the
I
South.
Wasn't. No, I said I had a man from the North who called up, and I said it took a guy from the North to call up and set me straight because I got the dumbass quotient coming. I come from the South.
Let me ask you a question. Why?
Look, let me tell you something. I got no problem with the South until you called. Now I'm back to having some bad opinions about the South again.
Why'd you leave the South?
to get a job. How about that? Make some money. Make some money. Yeah, make some money. Make something for my family. Do something for my family.
Construction man.
I know you build houses down there, right? But I don't want to build no houses in the middle of a tornado alley. And I don't build houses in the middle of hurricanes. And you just had a city get flooded underwater. I'd rather not live there if you don't mind. I guess you'd like to, but I'd rather not.
I'll tell you what, when that next earthquake comes out your way, you have a good day.
Yeah, and when's that? When's that going to happen? Because I'm living high and hot right now.
We don't predict
that. I know you don't.
Go talk to a palm reader or something.
You got something called a weather bureau out there. You ever heard of that? Next time a hurricane's coming, you might want to consult.
You know, we're from down south. We got wind vanes. We listen to those things.
Well, don't say the we thing, sir, because everybody I've talked to tonight's got more brains than you. I'm just talking about you now. If you're the only Southerner,
you know,
I think we're okay.
There was a time that somebody like you and myself, we'd have to go settle things behind a barn. But it's
well,
too
that
bad
wouldn't take long.
2,000 miles from my
settle
house.
Things behind, settle things behind the barn. I don't go that way. I don't go that way.
Well, anyway, Mr. Phil,
and
I
bet you got yourself
you
a dog, or maybe you got yourself a boyfriend, but I don't go that way.
Okay, look, this is a ridiculous conversation that's gone on too long. You guys are supposed to be talking about NASCAR.
Well, this guy thinks I'm making fun of Southerners. I ain't making fun of Southerners. I'm making fun of him.
You know, you were making fun of Southerners, and you were talking about the dumbass quotient, too. Anyway, sir, thanks for your call, Ricky. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. And so have you calmed down here?
I've calmed down, but that guy said there was a time he'd take me behind a barn and do what? Take my pants down? And
no, he wasn't talking about that at all. He was talking about a fist fight.
Well, it didn't sound that way to me. It sounded to me like he said there was a time I could take you behind a barn, and it wouldn't be nobody would think anything of it if I took your pants down.
No, he didn't say that at all. You know, you're talking about NASCAR and the Daytona 500. You're talking about something that is it's a little sacred to some people. And you may be from the South, but you did say you're dealing with a dumbass quotient.
When that guy called from the North, I said, thank God. Thank God a man from the North called to just get some, you know, just get some sense talked into it. That's all.
Take it easy, man.
I just
take it easy.
Trying.
Are you all right?
I'm all right, but I.
All right, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show. Let's go to another phone call. Here we have. Who is this? I don't know who this is.
Hi, my name is Sam.
Oh, it's Sam. That's right, Sam. Go ahead, man. So for some reason, I wrote down, for line 8, I wrote down NASCAR, and I know that ain't your name.
No, no problem. I'm
going to name my next child NASCAR.
Go ahead, Sam.
I have the racing experience, so if you want, for Mr. Bozell, I can either break down the physics of it or really any way he wants. As somebody, because he doesn't apparently want to deal with Southerners, which is fine, that's his preference. Listen, I'm not going to get into an argument about it.
Don't say something that I didn't say. I just didn't want to deal with anybody from Memphis.
That's fine. I've lived in Chicago, and I was born there, and I lived there for 20 years. I lived in Southern California for 10 years.
Okay, so let me ask you a question here, Sam. Here, this is what I'll ask you the question. What is to stop NASCAR, just taking Mr. Bozell's side?
Turner, I'd like to be able to speak for myself.
Hold on for a minute.
Sure.
What is to keep NASCAR from developing a tire, windshield wipers, essentially an automobile that can run at a higher speed on a wet surface?
They actually do have that, but it's only for road courses. Unfortunately,
I'm talking about on an oval track using the NASCAR body. You know, using the NASCAR.
The problem is you can't do it because the tracks are basically a bowl shape, and everything is banked. Whereas everything, when you go into the corners, the rubber and the oil, because that's where the cars are running, the oil and the rubber is laid down at the inner line of the track. And you have what's called the marbles, which is what comes off of the tires, which is worn rubber, and it runs to the outside because of centrifugal force. So what happens when it begins to rain is those marbles run down into the racing line and mix with the oil and that really slick rubber when it becomes wet. And what happens is when you're running on that line of the course, it becomes extremely slick. And there's nothing.
No, I understand. I understand, but you're not. But what I'm asking you, I'm asking you. Hold on. What the question is? The question. You got to be quiet for a minute here, or I'm going to have to hang the phone up on you. Be quiet, will you?
Okay.
For God's sake, I want to ask you something. What is this, what's to keep NASCAR? Because it's the same question. What's to keep NASCAR from developing a tire, from developing an automobile, a racing automobile that can deal with all of those factors?
Well, the problem would be is you're going to create a vehicle that's going to be 100% different from anything else they have. So, if you
100%, 100%, you just said.
If you look at the cars that run now and how many races really end up coming down to being delayed, like the Daytona 500 was this year. I mean, don't get me wrong; it was absolute catastrophe this year. It was the worst case scenario that could possibly happen.
Right.
It ended at 1 a.m.
I understand that, but you're not answering my question. But anyway, I appreciate very much your call. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Sorry, Steve, that I preempted you there, but I'm trying to get some information that... All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And you know we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And you get a backstage pass. You can watch our live streaming video of our show each and every night here that we are on the air. That's live streaming video of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Bob Bakian is going to be joining us a little bit later on. We have our news and information hour. Stephen Bozell on the line with us. And Steve, you took exception, I know, to me taking over the phone call there. But I needed to get some answers.
With all due respect, Mr. Henry, that last caller, I could have torn him apart.
And that last caller was a driver. He has driven competitively.
That's what he said. I mean, I could have ripped him to shreds. And you just sat there talking about, you didn't get to anything. I'm saying, if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's sleet, if it's dry, why can't you just stay on the track and drive and not pull it over and make us look, NASCAR fans and NASCAR drivers, like we got to sit down and be picked up by, you know, our crew and stuck in a high chair and we're going to drink a baby bottle.
I don't get the baby bottle thing. What being safe makes you look like an infant?
Yes, being a pansy and going pansy on something that anybody knows if you have skill and you are a credit to your... You're a credit to your profession, and I was going to say credit to your race, but you could be any color and drive, but you need to be a credit to your profession. And when you are allowing them to put a baby bottle in your mouth and burp you, and you look stupid, and you're on national television, it makes you look bad.
All right, 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over here to Dave. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell.
Yes, Mr. Bozell, the problem is...
Yes, sir.
The tires are developed by Goodyear. They've developed a rain tire. The problem with the high-banked ovals is once those cars get into the turns, they just turn sideways. There's nothing you could do to control them. They've experimented with it. They put windshield wipers on cars. They've tried this. It's a liability issue
right.
with the tires. Goodyear's the only manufacturer that will step up and accept liability for their tires. Now, if you want to watch a road course where they race in the rain, they've done that. They're able to do that.
Right.
But the race is slowed so far down that it's not even fun to watch. Same thing with the oval tracks. They've tried to run cars at speed. If you were to sit and watch a Daytona 500, that is a 2.5-mile oval track with cars running approximately pace car speed, which would be about 100 miles an hour, it would take them over 6-7 hours to run the race.
Well, you can put a time limit on it, but here's the other thing. You know, I mean, if my wife and I, if we got together and we have, you know, she's gone to the trouble of me, I've got it, I don't know how many egg salad sandwiches, so forth. I'd rather be there with my friends. I'd rather be there with my friends watching a race where it's only 100 miles an hour than kicking everybody out and telling everybody to go straight to the devil.
A race that's 100 miles an hour, you might as well just throw the pace car in front of them because that's what they do on the pace laps. Does anybody want to sit there and watch a pace lap?
You don't have to have the pace car. You don't have to have the pace car there. You can just get the pace car off the track. And number two, nobody says a guy's got to go slow. I'd rather have my wife sit down and have people eating the egg salad that she made. Than
everything with you is with this gathering of your friends.
Well, I mean, my wife and I went to great trouble.
I was at a party. You know, there was 20, 25 people at a party waiting for the race. And it didn't happen. We had a great time otherwise, you know?
You had a great time. You had a great time doing what? I mean, I had to kick everybody out.
Why would you kick everybody out?
Because there's no race, sir.
You spent money on alcohol and food?
Yes, sir. Of course I did. And there's no race?
You didn't have a good time. You're there with family and friends. Have a good time.
Sir, what am I going to have a good time doing if I got no race? I told them all to get the hell out of my house.
Wow. What is that about? What's that about?
What do you mean, what's that about?
I think what you did is, I think you invited a bunch of people that knew nothing about what was going on. And you
exactly.
Liked so much.
Hold on, Mr. Ender, what are you laughing at, sir?
Mr. Bozell, I'm laughing. This gentleman made a very good point. He said, if you had all that food and you got the alcohol, the friends are there, why not just have the food and have the drinks and enjoy yourself?
Because there's no race, and I'm not going to sit there with a bunch of these.
Do you like people?
That's a ridiculous question, sir.
Well, then why not just sit there with your...
Here's another point about the race.
I don't understand what you guys are saying. I'm supposed to sit there on my dead ass and what? Watch it rain?
If I got to explain that to you...
You've never had a party and entertain people, then, obviously. But let me say this.
Yes, I have.
The race was supposed to start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, correct?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Okay. Now, that would have been, you're in California?
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, so I've got people over. Yeah, we got to get up early to see things out here. Football starts at 10. Pre-game starts at 9 o'clock.
Now I understand the egg salad you were serving breakfast.
I don't know. My wife made egg salad sandwiches. Well, okay. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to get NASCAR to step up to the plate and man up and get those drivers back into their car and have them grow a pair and get out on that track and run because...
Because your wife made egg salad sandwiches, that's what you're saying. And that just is not a good enough reason to put a man back in a car and have him risk his neck.
Andrew, you're talking like you understand it or something. You've never been on a racetrack.
I just got done telling you, yes, I have. I haven't raced competitively, but obviously I've done more than you have. All you've been telling me about is running it high and hot, going out and finding some...
No, I got to get down to a job site and get there before the owner.
Okay, that's what you call racing.
Listen, I was a contractor, too. And
all right, listen, sir, thank you very much, sir. I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
That guy started talking, and you just hung up on him, and I could have made a point and beat him down. I've had every opportunity.
No, Mr. Bozell, you haven't had any opportunity to make any point. That point that you were making, that your wife was making egg salad sandwich and that you had people there, and once the race was called off, you had to go into your office and you had to collect your thoughts. What were you thinking about there?
I was just what this gentleman was talking about. Am I going to sit there and am I going to sit there and let people sit in my home with no, you know, do I throw them out? Do I tell them to go to hell? What do I do?
You said you went into that room and said what?
I went into what room?
When you came out of your office and you threw those people out of your house.
Yes, sir, I did.
You told them to go to the devil?
I said, why is that so unusual? I came there, I was primed for a race, there's no race. And when the ABC or when the man on TV said they're going to delay the race, and I looked at Bill Hutchinson, and Hutchinson, apparently that didn't register with him, or he just showed he didn't care at all, because even as they were saying they're delaying the race, there he is, putting one of my wife's sandwiches in his mouth, smiling, and laughing at a joke. And that's when I said, I can't take this. If you don't take your racing serious, I don't take it either. And I told him, you get the hell out of my house, all of you.
Okay.
Well, if you think I'm mentally diseased.
Yeah, I think you are. I think that there's probably a lot more to talk about with you. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Bob Bakian coming up from the site of Rush Limbaugh's home on the bomb threat, or the supposed bomb threat. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We've got Bob Bakian standing by, and a phone call here for Stephen Bozell. Steve, I know you have to go because you are expecting your family home at this particular hour. We have on the line Kathy. Go ahead, Kathy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell.
My wife and my son and my daughter.
Yes, sir. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all, Mr. Bozell, if you were inconvenienced and out, you know, maybe $500 for food, I don't know how you can compare that to a person's life. And to be embarrassed because an act of nature came along and messed up your plans, you're just being awfully selfish if you ask me.
Well, ma'am, now let's be clear. If you're watching the Daytona 500 and you've made egg salad sandwiches, you've made three different kinds of dip, which my wife makes a seven-layer dip and all this, and I'm not trying to impress you with my wife's cooking because I'm sure you're very good, too. But what I'm saying is, if you're watching the Daytona 500, there's a chance a man's going to lose his life on that day. Whether it's sunny, whether it's raining, it don't matter. So, you
yes,
see...
it does matter. I have ridden in the rain. I ride motorcycles.
Oh,
God. In the rain. I guarantee you it is a lot more dangerous in the rain than it is on dry pavement.
Ooh.
So...
Ma'am, it's more dangerous in the rain. If you are if you're a quality driver, yes, it's dangerous in the rain. I've had to make runs from.
Why would you want them to put their lives on the line even more for your entertainment? That's what I don't understand. I mean,
I'm the fan. I'm the fan. I'm the person that keeps it going. I'm the one that keeps it going. I'm the fan.
If you're a fan, then you should be the first person to say stop that race if it's gonna put their life even more on the line. I mean,
no, ma'am, you got to understand with NASCAR, I'm a fan of NASCAR racing. People have got to die, and I don't want them to, but they've got to die. For this sport, and it's been a great sport, it's lasted for so many years, but men have got to die on the track. Otherwise, the sport loses all credibility.
Well,
if
you're watching it just to see if someone dies, then you have a screw loose, mister.
No, ma'am.
You need to reevaluate your priorities.
Are you trying to tell me that you watch NASCAR racing and you think that what they're...
I don't watch NASCAR racing.
Well, then you don't understand.
I do watch football.
You don't
compare football to NASCAR.
Yes, I can, because football is way more...
Cannot.
Football is tougher. They play in the sport. Don't they play in the rain? Yes, they do.
I can pretty much guarantee you that there have been more games in NASCAR racing than there has been in a professional football game.
The point of NASCAR racing, and you should watch it, because, man, you really need to know what you're talking about. The point of NASCAR racing is to go as fast as you can, you are literally walking that line between God and the devil. I've talked to NASCAR drivers who get so close to that point of losing control that it's either the devil or it's God, no in between. And I'll tell you, they've told me, they've said it's almost like you leave your body and you're looking at the car driving itself. And
what are you talking about, man?
Excuse me?
What are you talking about? What is that supposed to mean?
What am I talking about?
No, not you. I'm talking to Steve. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you that I've talked to NASCAR drivers who said that they've gone so fast that they have been close to going to hell. Okay?
For your entertainment.
Ma'am, whether Steve Bozell never lived, they're still going to be going so fast, they're walking, they're ringing hell's doorbell. Whether I live or whether I die, they're still knocking on the devil's door.
It's because it's raining. those guys are probably want to be as safe as they can be out there. And yeah, they're taking their lives.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
But
what they want to do
does not mean that that you have to be inconvenienced and you have to talk to your attorney to make them run in the rain. That's just ridiculous.
I got my wife out of bed on Sunday morning. I said, "You're going to make egg salad?" She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "This is the biggest day of racing." I called up Dolores Blasingame as soon as they said they were postponing. I said, "Someone's going to pay. Someone's got to pay."
And someone's got to pay because they delayed the race.
Yes.
And oh, why don't you get on your knees and ask God to pay then?
NASCAR racing is what a driver. NASCAR racing is what a driver gets so close to hell that he's knocking on the devil's door.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that's how fast they're going, sir. What? No, it's not ridiculous. Look at you laughing. See, she thinks it's funny that a man dies. Now we know the truth. Now we know the truth. She thinks it's funny that a man dies. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been eating my wife's egg salad.
No, I'm not laughing.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You think it's funny that a man dies and burns up.
I think, God.
What is that?
It's asinine and ridiculous.
No, ma'am. What I'm saying is asinine. What, they go so fast in NASCAR that they can feel the breath of God on them.
Okay, but why do
how do you like that?
Why do they have to even go?
Yeah.
Go,
you know why you say that? Because you're jealous. Because you're jealous. Because you wish you could get that close to God. You wish you could get that close to God, and you can't. NASCAR drivers get closer to God than anybody. They get closer to God than Billy Graham ever was. How about that?
Boy, that's blasphemy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Probably makes me a lot closer to God than you, Buster.
I don't think you care, one way or another. But I think you would care if you knew that man's about to die, but he feels the devil's breath right up his you-know-what. What about that?
Well, I still think you have a screw loose. And if these guys don't
If I've got a screw, I'm telling you, ma'am, that our nest.
If these guys don't want to run in the rain, and if people for safety think it's better to not run when it's pouring down rain.
Oh, we live in such a soft society. People like you have made us soft. You've made us soft. Yes, we're a soft society. Everybody's got to be safe. What's that?
I just want to say, if you think you're soft, how many guns do you have in your home?
I'm not soft. I got plenty of guns. But you want to soften us up. And you don't know that a NASCAR driver is at his happiest when he feels the devil grabbing him from behind. Well, never mind.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, Kathy, thank you for your call.
Well, what does that mean,
yeah.
Mr. Henry?
You're
going to leave me hanging looking like I'm some kind of a freak.
Well, what do you mean the devil?
I'm saying that a NASCAR driver is never happier than when he can feel the devil grabbing his hips from behind. Okay? There, I said it. She hung up.
Of course she hung up.
Well, you know something, Mr. Yeah, I hope the devil someday. Well, you know what? You'll never feel the devil grab you from behind. So that's.
Oh, gee, I feel really bad about that.
If you knew, oh, forget it.
Wow, that guy is. He's got a. I'm telling you, whatever the terminology is, you know.
Yeah, like two slices of American cheese shy of a hero.
Two slices of American cheese shy of a hero. That's good enough. And what, bud?
Well, he's on the line, and he wanted to just talk to you one more second.
Well, I don't like him hanging up on me, I'll tell you that much. Did you tell him that?
Yeah.
Mr. Bozell.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on you, sir. I wanted to hang up on her.
Well, that's... What do you mean you wanted to hang up on her?
I was trying to hang up on her, and I realized that I hung up on you, because she's coming through you. I thought I was talking to her directly. I'm sorry, sir. I got emotionally ahead of myself. I apologize. I just wanted to thank you for having me on your program. And the fact that lady would not take me seriously. And
well, when you say that a NASCAR driver's fondest dream is to feel the devil grabbing him from behind, you know.
Well, no, I don't know.
That sounds about as weird as it gets, man. I don't think anybody understands that.
Well, all I know, sir, is because my wife was inconvenienced. And you may laugh if you want, that she and my daughter and, oh, God, hold on.
What is that, man?
It's air freshener, I'm sorry. What happened was my wife has made so many egg salad sandwiches, I told her I'd eat them, and I did. I ate 15 of them, But the gas, and she's coming home with April Jr. and Steve Jr. here in about a half an hour. They were visiting her mother, and I'm just trying to get the air cleaned up in here because the gas that it, have you ever had egg salad?
Yes, I have, and I don't need you to talk about it, okay?
I apologize.
In any event, Mr. Bozell, I appreciate you being on our program this evening. I'm sorry that we couldn't really solve the problem for you.
Sorry, just trying to get the air is just fouling here, man. Man, come on!
Well, do you want me to let you go?
Yeah, I got to get this cleaned up because she's coming down the street now. I can see her headlights. Woo!
Get out of here, will you? For God's sake, bud.
I didn't know he was going to do that.
My wife made 15 egg salad sandwiches, and I'm... All right, so I think it's safe to say that, and I do appreciate everybody's phone calls this evening because I think people hit the nail on the head. There is a great amount of technical... There are a number of things that must change from the standpoint of the actual... the structural reality of the race car. Everything from the tires to the windshield wipers themselves, everything has to change in order for them to run... At competitive speeds in heavy rain. So we're not talking about being a sissy. We're talking about the maximum efficiency of these very, very fast and very finely tuned machines that are the at the very center of competitive automobile racing. And this has got nothing to do with them being scaredy cats, you know. And I can remember years ago when I was, I forget where it was, will you hang up on that guy with the freaking air freshener?
Probably everything you were saying.
Oh, is that it? All right, we'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, man, are you putting me on?
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We thank Stephen Bozell for being our guest and bringing to our attention, I guess, you know, his concern about the as a spectator, as a fan, as a paying customer. But some of his conversation there, I think, probably verges on the loony, you know.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. Having a devil grab your ass. Well, he didn't say that.
That's what he meant, though.
Yeah, that's what he meant.
I think, I don't know what he meant either, and I think he was going over the top a little bit with no one but a NASCAR driver knows what it feels like to really touch the face of God or to have the devil, you know, hold onto your hips from behind.
That's the part that I didn't get.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're supposed to get that part. I think that was Mr. Bozell betraying his mental illness there, you know.
What do you think about they get that close to God?
What are you talking about, get that close to God? I don't have any idea. I was just saying to Dan, though, I can tell you this. I mean, and you don't have to be a brain surgeon, and you don't necessarily have to follow NASCAR all that close to know there's two things. It's safer. They are making great strides to make the sport safer for the drivers, obviously, and safer for the fans, too, because in NASCAR racing, what we used to refer to affectionately as stock car racing, the incidence of fans being injured seriously by debris or God forbid, but it's happened, a car literally jumping the track and somehow finding its way into the stands. There's been enough of that happening whereby you have to consider fan safety too. So the sport is safer, but, and here's the other side of it now, I don't think the sport's ever been more dangerous in terms of the speed and the how close these guys race now, and the margin of error is ever so slight. They're running at incredibly high speeds, and they're running so close. You know, you saw that, Bud, on the race the other day.
Yeah, that one guy, all he did was his bumper hit.
That's all you have to do, and not even hit. You're running so close to these guys at over 200 miles an hour that even if your fender or your bumper just glances off that guy's car, it will cause a chain reaction, the likes of which can knock out 17, 18 cars, you know?
I can't believe they don't get killed and everything.
Well, that's the safety we're talking about, because the roll cages, the actual compartment where the driver sits, it is reinforced. It detaches, tears away from, if you will, the rest of the automobile. In fact, the cars, race cars now, come apart. And that's good. That's not bad. That's good. When these cars actually make contact in such a way as to cause an accident, if it gets too serious, the car will literally come apart. And that is a good thing. The driver, therefore, is not sitting in a huge missile that is bounding down the track that is intact and is flying over the railing and going God knows where. The driver is in that roll cage, and bits and pieces of the car are tearing away. And that leaves him inside that cage, you know, if it gets that bad.
Yeah, you ever seen a car do that?
I've seen a couple of races where, yeah, all that was left was the guy sitting in the seat with the roll cage around him. Yeah, and he was okay. I mean, I shouldn't say that he was okay. I think if it gets to that point, he's going to be bruised up a little bit. But he wasn't dead, and he survived, and he raced again. But it used to be they didn't come apart like that. The entire automobile was intact. And it either blew up or it kept on smashing down the raceway until the bloody thing was just a heap. And there's a driver inside of there who's been killed. Maybe that metal is wrapped around him somehow. So yeah, it's gotten safer, but it's still a pretty fast speed. You know,
how fast they go?
They get over 200 miles an hour. Some of them, you know, on a good day. And they've complained about the speeds, and they've talked about, but it isn't. I don't think it's the speed so much as it is the skill, the ability of the drivers involved, and what exactly are these guys doing? Are they, you know, you got a lot of gung ho dudes out there. These cats, I mean, do you know that there's a, I don't know if you guys know this or not. And I'm taking this from from something that the noted psychiatrist Park Dietz said. You know who Park Dietz is?
Park Dietz, yeah, it's, is that a guy?
Yes, it's a guy. I said, do you know who Park Dietz is?
I thought it was a place.
Yeah, I thought it was near Jackson Square.
Park Dietz is near Jackson Square. No, it's a guy, okay? He's a psychiatrist.
Oh.
And he said that there's a very small percentage of the human race, only about 4%, literally, now this is true, literally have no fear. They don't feel fear. Now, I don't know whether that is true throughout every single solitary experience, but they're fearless. Fearless. Now, these are people, there's not a lot of them, and there's a lot of people who conquer their fear, or I should say who ignore their fear because the thrill is so great. I'm not saying the NASCAR drivers are fearless. I think it's very, very possible that in the overall number of people that have driven competitively in NASCAR or any other kind of dangerous profession, I bet you that there's been one or two, you know, every generation maybe, who literally have no fear. It's an actual condition. Psychiatrists know it exists. Psychologists know it exists. It's not a high percentage of the human race. Most people deal with fear. People who deal effectively with fear recognize that they have it, but they push through it to do whatever it is that they have to do. Or the fear is healthy and they stay away from the thing that they're afraid of, you know?
No, I don't. What do you mean?
I mean, if you're a soldier, for instance, you push through your fear.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't know what you mean about pushing through.
If you're a soldier, you push through your fear. Or if it's a job you got to do and you have to deal with that fear, that's what most people deal with, fear in a healthy way. They realize they have it, but they go ahead and they do what they have to do. Fear, on the other hand, sometimes means don't go there. And if you're smart and you're dealing with it healthy, in a healthy way, you say, well, I won't go there. I'm afraid of that, and I can't deal with that. I will stay away from that. That's where your fear is helping you. But this, like, 4% of the human race, they ain't even got no fear. Now, I was listening to Dr. Dietz talking about this. He said, at their best, these people become test pilots.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're probably guys like astronauts and stuff.
Well, they become test pilots. They become soldiers. They're firefighters. There's a lot of them that get into the business of firefighting. They're cops, things like that. And the reason why I mention this is because I was talking to Jason about that book I'd read about Richard Kuklinski, who was a hitman for the mafia. And Park Dietz interviewed this guy on TV. He interviewed this guy for an interview series as he talked to Richard Kuklinski, who was a vicious killer. I mean, a vicious, vicious killer. And he said to him, he said, Richard, you have a combination of two things, and they are the worst possible things. Because this guy Kuklinski said to him, I want to know what's wrong with me. He said, you have an ability to completely shut your conscience off, and you are fearless. He said, ordinarily, we don't find those two things in the same person, but we found them in you. So that means this guy Kuklinski had no conscience, and he had no fear. And you can well imagine somebody like that is, you've just got to, you know, take a long way around somebody like that.
Yeah, where's this guy now?
Well, he died, you know.
Somebody kill him?
No, he died in prison. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Coming up, we got Bob Bakian from Florida and our News and Information Hour. It's the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.